Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. Calliope Awards for 2015 were presented on Wednesday, April 22nd. I'm Shirley Noon from Nova Annandale. The name Calliope means beautiful-voiced, like the muse who inspires eloquence and poetry. A calliope is a musical instrument, a steam organ, the type used in a carousel, and it's a species of hummingbird. Finally, Calliope is the student journal of art and literature published every spring at Northern Virginia Community College Annandale. It is a collaboration of the Departments of English and Liberal Arts under sponsorship of the Division of Languages and Literature. We are bringing you the presentations of remarkable, talented people. Get ready to be inspired. Here they are. Winner in the category of fiction. First prize, Jinbom K. DuPont, Transit Man.
Transit Man by Jinbom DuPont. The dull drone of rain drummed all around. The sky was an overcast gray and the air was clouded with mist as the buses and cabs flowed along the JFK Terminal Road. It was next to the green trash bin where Stewart would park his cab and stare longingly at the glass doors, waiting for a chance to see his second ex-wife, Jennifer. Some days he saw her, some days he didn't. The windshield wipers pulsed rhythmically, conducting the rain like a metronome and lulling Stewart into a reflective daydream. Oftentimes, Stewart reflected about his life choices, his regrets, what has been, what could have been. Suddenly, the drumming crescendoed as someone got into the back seat. Lenox Hill Hospital, please, a soft, chillingly recognizable voice spoke. Yes, ma'am, Stewart replied, promptly shifting gears and accelerating away. Stewart glanced into the mirror and saw her, stroking the rain out of her smooth blonde hair as she fiddled with her phone. A wave of nausea overcame him as he couldn't believe his eyes. She was his first wife, Martha. Stewart's mind instantly flashed back to their high school prom, their college intimacy, their quaint church wedding, and their very successful laundry business. But then he was reminded of when he took the entire business and left Martha so he could marry Jennifer, the daughter of a multi-billion company CEO. Stewart shuddered at the thought. Hey, the rain is lightening up, Martha suddenly spoke up. Stewart froze. Was she talking to him? He didn't say anything. I'm on my way to see my dad at the hospital. Yeah. Stewart glanced again into the mirror, but only saw half her face. Her head was tilted like it was squeezing the phone between her left shoulder. I've been meaning to talk to you, but I never really got the chance. I guess she doesn't recognize me, Stewart thought to himself. He couldn't decide if that was a good or bad thing. Oh, well, the kids have moved out already. Jill's at Stanford and Jack joined the Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. Wow, she has children. Good for her, Stewart nodded. He had always wanted a family, but the circumstances weren't always right. Yeah, I know, they grow up so fast. She must be talking to a friend. Maybe it was her friend Sally, the girl with the mole on her chin, Stewart reasoned. Dom officially moved out last week. Of course, I kept the house. Women always got to keep everything, Stewart smirked. His last divorce didn't end well for him. So how have you been? Stewart stared sullenly out into the hazy road. Lenox Hill Half Hospital, half mile, a sign read. The rain had slowed to a drizzle, so Stewart ticked off the wipers. Well, it sounds like you've been busy. There was a hint of sarcasm in her voice this time. Stewart slowed down and pulled up against the curb of the hospital. That'll be $35.25, Stewart called back. There was a pause. What's wrong with you? Martha suddenly shrieked. Huh? Stewart yelped. I've been talking to you, telling you how I've been doing, and you don't say a goddamn word, Martha shouted. Stuart was shocked. After everything that has happened, you can't even say hello? Martha was choking up a bit. Here, take your money. This was a mistake. Martha tossed the crumpled bills to the front and hastily climbed out of the cab. Wait, Stuart managed to squeak out. I'm sorry, wait, listen to me, come back. Martha stopped. The light rain gave an aura around her. A bus roared past as Martha turned back reluctantly and stopped beside the driver's window with her arms crossed. Stuart confessed. I'm sorry, I was afraid you didn't remember me. I thought you were talking to someone else on your phone, and I didn't think you would want to remember me or talk to me after everything I've done to you. Martha stared at Stuart for a moment before sighing. The past is in the past. Right now I see you've been struggling because you're still the same miserable jerk that I fell in love with long ago. Martha sounded more reminiscent now, and Stuart could see the wrinkles beside her beautiful blue eyes. He never realized how long it has been since he'd seen her. Here, have this. Martha reached out and handed him her business card, reading Martha's Laundry Services, along with her phone number and other contact information. We can have dinner sometime, maybe. Give me a call. Martha said as she walked briskly away into the hospital. Stuart stared at the name card and his eyes began to well up. Rain trickled down the windshield as the bustle of the city moved around him. How could he ever apologize enough? Stuart wiped his eyes. He didn't know whether to call her or not. After silently brooding for a while with his head pressed against the steering wheel, Stuart perked up as someone opened the rear door and slid in. JFK Airport, a husky voice asked from the back seat. Stuart shifted gears and accelerated back onto the road. The air was a little clearer, with only a little light drizzle of rain. Stuart kept thinking whether or not to call Martha. After arriving at the airport, Stuart unconsciously looked to his spot beside the green trash bin, but it was occupied. He found an open space farther up. He sat there waiting, still going over the decision in his head. The rain had stopped, and thin streaks of sunlight began to filter through the dissipating clouds. Suddenly, something caught his eye up ahead. A young woman with a green coat was walking briskly out of the terminal doors. It was Jennifer. Stuart stared at her for a moment, then past her and towards the horizon, where a plane was ascending into the clouds. Instead of driving over to pick her up, he promptly picked up the name card, his phone, and dialed the number.
Winner in the category of poetry, first prize, Muzda Sabira Ghafouri, Afternoon Tea.
Afternoon Tea. Perhaps one day my heart will soften, and I will feel nothing but the steady thrum of my daughter's stubby fingers against my skin. Auburn ringlets kissing cheeks, morning sun lingering against our still bones, around us only peace. Perhaps time will fade my memory, forget the nights I did not know whether to move or keep still. Forget the Sunday my aunt sat for afternoon tea, enraged against the tyranny of a husband, and cried angry tears born of an age-old pain that he should lay his hands on her. Days after my broken father left us for the third time, and my wounds still bleeding, rubbed raw and fresh as I watched my sister weeping over his letter, becoming a woman before ever being a child. My aunt, railing at my mother, asked, "Don't you remember you used to dress to the nines just to sweep the floor?" Your laughter carried through the house. What happened to you? You are broken. Where did you go? You are lost. Who hurt you? Five women sitting around the table for afternoon tea. 8 months after my uncle left us so suddenly, recounting the day like a broken record, all of us mourning, all of us shaking leaves and wisps of blue, all of us howling as if it had happened yesterday, keeping time with our hands. My mother's scarred and calloused feet scraping against the tiled floor, sniffing through her tears. The mailman underneath the window, systematically dropping our bills into boxes. That horrid little dog barking in the distance. The wind picking up and running through the Virginia oaks. The sun dazzling sharp against brick and concrete. Each of us nursing such aching pain, perhaps I will forget it. Perhaps I will forget.
The Calliope Committee is grateful to so many people at Nova Annandale, staff, faculty, and students, for their generous support and creativity. Robert Brown of Nova's Web Services and Digital Media served as technical editor of this podcast. Nova, we are partners in your success. See you next year. For Calliope, I'm Shirley Noon.